Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And we talk about video games on this show, if you didn't know already.
What?
Yes, because we like video games.
Are you sure?
We have problems with video games.
Well, I have problems with everything.
Yeah. Well, and we collect a lot of video games.
Yes. I do like video games. I also dislike them. Or things about them. But I think that's life a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about life here. In the form of video games.
And I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And yeah, welcome to Game Changers. So, we do play a lot of video games. And last week we were very fortunate to have a guest. And we had also promised to do an interview, a review of a game we had played that we'd mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm stalling.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Why?
I don't know why. Okay. Because I'm talking about Little Hope.
Because I don't want to talk about this game. I want to talk about this game.
Yeah, I know you want to talk about this game.
It's fine.
It is fine. And we are going to play more of the Dark Anthology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so Little Hope is the second in the Dark Anthology, which is a series by Supermassive Games. I feel, once again, their most well-known game is still Until Dawn. Until Dawn, I think, is still the one that most people have played at this point.
Or yeah.
Or out of all of their games, is what I mean.
I think it was their big jump into this style of storytelling.
Yes, and that's my problem with, I think, this genre, or I guess it's a genre, or this kind of game, is I think they've sort of given me all that I can, sort of thing, other than the fact that they are updating little things between each game. Like, they're making quality of life things. Like, they're making controls a little bit easier, certain button things a little easier, right?
Right.
That's what I feel. That's how I feel the difference has been, but I don't know. The stories are fine. And I think if you are relying on something that it's sort of like a gimmick mechanic to an extent, like, you have to have a little bit something more interesting if this is going to be the third game in a sort of a series of this kind of style of games, right?
Right, like,
so, yeah, before we get into it too much about why I dislike this game, clearly, Little Hope is a game by Supermassive Games where it's a multiplayer or it can be single player. It's one of those. And you get to take control of five different characters. The main one is Andrew. There's Andrew, Angela, Taylor, Daniel, and John. Yeah, I was like, I feel his name is something typical. And you basically, you are going somewhere, with these, I think you're all in college, you're in some kind of college class, with your teacher, John, and you are in a bus accident, and you have to get through to this town, Little Hope, or through this town, which has been abandoned. It's like,
you're trying to find a phone in order to get help for crash.
That's the whole plot of the story. You crashed and you're trying to find help.
This is a choose-your-own-adventure sort of situation where the decisions that you make...
Yeah. Well, affect- yes. Affect things as in... But they affect them as if the characters are going to die or not.
Right.
I feel that is the ultimate, like, these are the choices you make. The choices are not, like, anything else. It is just, like, is this character going to die? Or are you going to make this other character, like, not like you? One of the two. I feel these games also suffer a little bit from the fact that they have statements that feel like something very innocuous. Like, you're just saying, like, hi. And then literally you choose that and be like, hey, you jerk. And it'd be like, oh, no, I didn't mean to say that.
I was just so mean.
Yeah, and you're just sort of like... I feel that this game does that a little bit where it's confusing with what it says, and then you say exactly the opposite of what you were like, oh no, I did not mean that at all. And in this game, there is an amount of, like, your relationships between the characters matter to an extent. I think it matters to the point that, like, your other characters maybe will actually willingly try to save other characters a little more or something. If they like them. So, you know, you want to maybe not be a jerk to other characters a little bit.
That's one of the drawbacks, though, is that these characters aren't exactly likable. No. That is a problem, that it's very hard to get emotionally invested in someone who just does not trust you. Like, you're implied to have a relationship as classmates or as a teacher to these people.
Yeah, that you know them and you've known them for maybe more than, like, the 5 minutes you think we have within, like, what we've seen, right?
You know them well enough to be out on a field trip with them?
Yeah.
It's not like a first weekend, we're gonna do a field trip now. It should be, like...
Like, that's the main story. I will say this game does start off with a scene that is from the 1970s, and it has versions of all these characters, but they're in a setting where they're all part of a foster family. Where Angela and John are the parents, and the rest of them are children. And then, of course, we have our creepy little child character. Oh, I think her name is Megan. And that's sort of where the story begins. It's one of those things where it doesn't matter what you choose, everybody's going to die kind of situation.
It's the tutorial level, pretty much.
Yes, yes.
Which they did that to us in Man of Medan as well, which they got us, like, emotionally invested in the tutorial characters, and then...
Yeah, I think, and here's the thing. So we have this scene from the 1970s, but we also have scenes from the I don't know when times, like, but like oldie times where there were Salem witch trials, because obviously that is what this game hinges on, that there is witch trials and that there is some spooky stuff that may have happened in this town, right?
It's full of Puritans.
Yeah. So you also have times where we have flashbacks to back in time where we have once again the same characters, but they're the oldie time versions of themselves. And the thing that sort of happens is each of these characters see themselves die, or they see their...
past incarnations?
And the thing is, I hesitate to think that they're past incarnations based on, like... And we will get maybe to the ending of this game, and I might... I probably will spoil it. Just heads up, if you want to not be spoiled for this game and the ending, I'm probably going to spoil it because I hated it. It's one of those things where it's like I joke about what the ending could be because it's a joke and it would be not good for that to be the ending. And then it's something very similar along the lines of that. And I'm like, no, how could you do this? I was joking.
It's when you get a cheap out ending is what it is.
It's an ending where it feels like, well, we'll get to it.
Okay.
It feels like basically nothing was, there was no point of the game, which I hate that. Why did I play a video game? Anyway. And basically you are going through this town trying to find, trying to find your way out. And I think the other problem with this game is that if you play with another person, you can make the characters have a 180 with their reactions. Right? Because we were playing with someone else who, and I love you, Jesse, but you killed three of our characters.
Jesse's just not good at quick time events. And she got hit with the brunt of quick time events. True. So to be fair.
Jesse. So yeah, the thing is that when you are switching the characters, I chose to be like John, very nice. Because I was like, if we make friends with all the characters, it'll solidify relationships, get us trophies, etc. Whereas other people played it where John was not very nice, which, you know, maybe is maybe more in line with his character, but at the same time, you know,
yeah.
It just is interesting that those are the choices that they give you they're so varied, right? Like, they're so different. We have very nice John, very reasonable John, and then we have, like, angry, sassy John, right? And it's just sort of like...
It's a tale of two Johns.
Well, they're different characters, right? Basically. And it's interesting that they would allow you to switch that much between two people or however many people who you're playing with. Because this is a game I think you can also just sort of like switch the controllers around whenever. There's a movie night version of this and I don't know how it works because we play online because that's how it is now. basically... Like, here. Well, like, that's enough talking. And this game is fine. This game, I think we agreed that we like Man of Medan better, just in general. Like, I think story was a little more interesting. The characters were at least a little more likable or memorable.
They had more charm to them. They kind of had the same suffering point.
They where absolutely did.
You
I think
weren't they're rooting for them.
No,
you really aren't rooting for these characters to make it through to the end, which is unfortunate. Like, yeah, that's my opinion on that.
No, but I agree. Well, I think the thing is that they don't make these characters likable enough for you to want to save them, right? And I think part of it is maybe you don't want to save them. Like, maybe part of it is that's part of the game, right? Like, you get this ending where everybody dies or whatever, right? That's fine. That's technically it's programmed into the game, right?
Where you see a lot of this in Until Dawn, you had these characters that you also kind of knew were jerks.
But I think I enjoyed more of the Until Dawn characters than any of the so far characters. Like, I can think of the main guy, I think his name is Mike, and Mike was actually a nice guy. Like, he was a character that I actually liked, and typically I wouldn't like that kind of character, but there are things in the game that you get to do with Mike that you're like, oh, you know what? He's not a bad guy.
But you also came into this knowing they had a pre-established relationship and knew each other and how they were supposed to function in a group. They would have callbacks to previous situations they were in.
There feels like there was more money spent in Until Dawn. In general, like, I feel that these dark anthologies are, quote-unquote, like, they're smaller games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that's more of a fault on the writing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so.
No, I would say that there's more than enough evidence that you can write a good horror story within a short amount of time, right? Yeah. There are miniseries, there are episodic series, there's 1,000,000,010 things that prove to us that can happen. It's just, I don't know if these games are doing it, and now I'm not excited for the next one. Right? Yeah. And we've sort of, and I will, but basically, you can get, like, spoilers to the next game. Like, there's even a trailer, I think, in the, somewhere at the end. If you get one of the endings in Little Hope, you can see what the next game is, which is something, House of Ashes, I believe, with Ashley Tisdale, which is interesting. I'm a little worried, just because I feel that with the ending of Little Hope, this one could very easily go in a direction that I don't care for and I think is boring, and I've seen it done 1,000,000 times in horror, right? I am excited about Pazuzu, because Pazuzu's in there, and I think that, you know, maybe at least there's that, but we also had witches in this, and then it was, so, okay, let's talk about the ending of Little Hope.
Okay, so, spoiler, don't listen for, like, the next 10 minutes?
Oh, 5 minutes.
Five minutes?
Know. It won't be that long. It'll just be like why I disliked it.
Okay, so the ending. The ending, we were saying it was a cop-out, and it really was, because this is not the way you should end a horror story normally, generally.
I was joking.
Or not well executed.
I was joking about how, what if this was just in somebody's head, or what if this he was in a coma, and this is just, you know, like, the one, once again, I feel that's a try that's been done 20 times. We've seen it. We get it. Like, it's a trope now, right?
Right.
So basically, the character Andrew, who is also Will Poulter, who is an actor. You can do the Googling. but he is basically, it's all inside his head. He is the person from the 70s that we saw in the very first tutorial cutscene. And he has grown up to be the bus driver that crashed, and then he has been just having
a mass hallucination.
Uh-huh. The whole time. Which is, I hate that. I hate that so much. I think that made me so bad. And the other thing is that it means that nothing mattered. Like, the characters, especially because at the time I was like, oh, Jesse, you killed all our characters. I'm sad about them.
Then and we went back and actually tried to save them.
We went back and tried to save a character twice, and it didn't work. And then I was like, Jesse, it's fine. I'm happy you killed everybody, because it doesn't matter. Because it literally didn't matter that everyone was dead, because they were already always dead. And they were in his head. Like, they were not important in any way, other than they were, like, past references of his, like, of his family from, like, 50 years ago. And then it also goes to the fact, like, what was the point of the witch stuff? Why did they show us this other than to have witch stuff? You know, to be like, ooh, we gotta have something spooky. which is, I guess.
Which I think tied into the other endings more than, like, we went for the good ending. We ended up getting the quote-unquote good ending.
Yeah.
I think if you went for any of the other endings, it would tie in more, but that still is not
well executed. Well, if we got the good ending, which is the ending that is supposed to be, like, quote-unquote intended, right? This is the good ending. So then it should make sense. And I just feel that, wow, we went through, you know, like, 6 hours of a game for nothing. And that, because it means it is nothing. In the end, there was nothing. Like, he ends up in a car crash, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
He ends it, and it's okay. He forgives himself.
Yeah.
And maybe the other ending is he doesn't, right? But at the end of the game, it doesn't matter, because nothing was real. It was just a guy. And I also think it's also not a great, you know, example of mental illness, right? That this is
the other issue.
Yeah, the other, which is like, you know, mental illness is scary. Mental illness causes you to see demons, right? Or causes you to see your foster family as your college associates. Like, it just, there's a lot there that doesn't make sense. And then they pulled off the ending that was the worst way to pull it off. And once again, I was joking about, like, what if it was this? What if the ending is this? And it was that. And
what if it's going to pull a Sixth Sense on us?
It can't do that to me. I hate that. Because I'm joking about it. Because I'm not serious. And it did it. Anyways, that's our review of Little Hope. I was very disappointed. And that's why I'm a little worried for the next one. It's going to take place in Iran. I think it has something to do with military. I'm worried that they're going to throw in some post-traumatic stress kind of thing. You know, like, they're going to, and then, or someone's in a coma, right? They, you know, I just, at this point, the fact that they did it, I'm now worried that they're going to do any kind of, you know, boring trope like that.
What would be really nice if they played it straight and had an actual demon.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Like, and here's the thing, even Man of Medan, like, I liked how that was explained. I thought that was pretty good, and it's also based off of a real ghost story. This is probably based off of something, but, you know, like, I felt that that was at least more reasonable or understandable, or, you know, it made more sense a little bit.
It was still scary, but there was a reason for why it was
there was stuff happening.
Yeah.
And I could accept that as an answer. I can't accept it was in his head as a good answer. Anyway, I also played In Silence, which was a neat game. It's a multiplayer game. Yeah, we're by Little Hope. We're done with you. We'll see you when House of Ashes comes out, I guess.
We're gonna play other games in our library now.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Once again, I had hopes for these series. They're interesting. I think they have to innovate way more. Even if they're not gonna innovate in gameplay, which is fine. I don't hate the gameplay. They're gonna have to innovate in story. They're gonna have to do way better because that was bad. Anyway, I'm playing In Silence.
Tell me about In Silence and the whole idea behind In Silence.
It is one of those asymmetrical multiplayer games where one person is a monster killer kind of creature. You play as, it's called the Rake, right? Which I think is,
that's a creepypasta.
Yeah, it's a made up, like, and I will say this one is, I think it's kind of a cute monster design, but it's like, his big claws, like Scyther, like from Pokemon, and kind of like a little dinosaur, and has a tail, bloody mouth face. Anyway, the thing with the Rake is the Rake can't really see. It's like if you're like extremely nearsighted,
right?
Basically, but you can hear things, and you have a little map hub that, you know, when people talk, you can see things, or when people move or walk or do something loud, you can see pings on your radar and you can go grab them.
So you're like a Tyrannosaurus from Jurassic Park.
A little bit. It's pretty, like, it's fun. You also have like a big jump.
That was a bad comparison. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, I guess it kind of, but in the same, but you know, there is a real lack of vision. You can, if you get close enough to things, you can absolutely see them, which, like, it's kind of funny because when I was playing first and I was not being the Rake, you're just being like a survivor, I guess, or person. I don't know. I didn't realize like what the vision was, But, like, and I, when I played the rake, basically my friends were trying to stand, like, still in front of me. And I'm like, no, I see you. Like, it's not, no, you gotta run. You gotta run. The other thing in this game is that you can find code numbers, like, number symbol codes. And there's, like, a big storage container full of guns.
So you can go after the rake?
You can kill the rake, which I let my friends kill me. I didn't let them. I let them open the armory. Like, right. We went around looking for the codes, and then they hunted me down. And it's pretty interesting.
The most dangerous game.
Well, it's quite like when the survivors have guns, it's like you're gonna die probably because they have like 8 guns and there's maybe 3 to 4 people, and you know there's 5 bullets and they take like. It takes, like, 6 shots to kill you. So, I was just, and obviously, I don't have the advantage of being able to get them. Well, because they're going to shoot, yeah, exactly. And then if I get close to them, they're going to shoot me. But, yeah, it's quite fun. It's in alpha. It's in early alpha. Like, here's the thing. I had a huge amount of trouble trying to get it to work on my computer.
Right.
What I managed to do was I had to go through, like, a VPN to finally make it work, which I don't know why. Once again, I don't, like, it worked for every other one of my friends, which is bizarre, but this was the only way I could make it work, and I tried everything. So I was very happy that I finally made it work. But yeah, that's what I was playing. I like, it's fun. It's a fun little asymmetric. I assume it's going to get better, like, one little neat thing is, like, when you're a different survivor, they all have sort of perks that are just attributed to them. Like, some walk quieter. Somebody sort of already has, like, a map, so you can already, like, check out. Because there's... Basically, you're starting a car. That's what the survivors right. have to do. You have to find, like, the wheels, the battery, the gas, and the car keys. And there's a variety of little houses. To be honest, a lot of it reminds me how... Friday the 13th is set up.
Right.
To be honest,
okay.
Like, it's quite, I feel it's similar to that. Like, if any other, like, asymmetrical killer game, like, it's not like Dead by Daylight. It's more like Friday the 13th in terms of how it goes. Even in terms of how you're able to kill the monster, right? You're able to kill Jason in the Friday the 13th
If you get
game.
All the artifacts and you have the strength and patience to do.
Yeah.
I think you need the sweater and I think you need his mom's head.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta get someone to wear his mom's sweater or something. I don't know.
Or I might be thinking of the Super Nintendo version where that's a thing
you
had to
yes.
get.
But yeah, it's fun. It's pretty cheap. I would say, once again, there are some troubles, so maybe hold off. But at the same time, you know, I did eventually find my way around it, which I was very happy about. But yeah.
Well done. So, right now, we are getting ready for the holiday season, and I was wondering if we could put out there some cheap video games that are good stocking stuffers for your gamer in the family.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that I would suggest, especially if you are going to be stuck inside during the winter, is if you have a Nintendo Switch, get a Nintendo Switch subscription. It is about $24 a year. That's a $24 gift for the whole entire year.
Yeah, you get, that's not bad.
That's really not bad. You get access to all the, or a large amount of the original Nintendo games and Super Nintendo games that they had on the mini consoles they had last Christmas and the Christmas before. You can also play Mario Brothers 35, which I have been playing a lot of.
Well, and I feel like the online Nintendo collection, like, it's pretty big. Like, there's, like, the Nintendo games as well as Super Nintendo games, right? Like...
I've been playing a lot of Dr.
Yeah,
Mario to
Donkey Kong. Yeah.
And I'm gonna start playing Breath of Fire 2, like I've always promised myself. I just don't have the time to sit down and do it yet. Also for the Switch, A Short Hike is now available. It came out in August, so I can actually play it as well, because you really like that one.
I really liked A Short Hike. I got it through the Humble Bundle, and I actually beat it recently. It's great. It's very cute. It's very endearing. It's neat. Like, it's one of the neater little games. I really liked it. Yeah, it's chill. Like, it's one of those, like, it's a cozy game, right? It's
right.
nice. There's not... stress. You can just sort of fly around an island.
You compared it to Animal Crossing.
Yeah, in a way. I think the designs are a little bit... They remind me of Animal Crossing in a way. There are things about it that remind me of Animal Crossing. Like, you know, you can dig for stuff. You can fish. You can do a lot of things in this game rather than just go to the top, which is, like, the point of the game. But yeah.
Right. And by the way, I'm trying to keep all these games to under the $20 mark or close to.
Yeah.
So another excellent game that we had played was Celeste. Now, I'd been playing a lot of Hollow Knight, and I think I'm enjoying Hollow Knight because it is so similar to the platforming action of Celeste. It is also highly difficult, but you can actually turn that difficulty off. So if you want a game that has incredibly cute graphics and really good music, go and check out Celeste. It's also on the Switch and on the PlayStation 4.
It's on, I think, everything, to be honest. Celeste is fantastic. I love it because it also is super accessible. You can, like, turn on invincibility. You can turn on, like, infinite jump. And it doesn't ding you for that, which is the best part. Like, it's just like, here, yeah, you know what? We know this game can be difficult for some people, so here you go, which I love.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
One of my favorite games as a teen came out for the Switch recently, and I'm talking about Devil May Cry 3. Not a kid-friendly one, but it is still a fun one, I think. It is a hack-and-slash platformer.
Yeah, I don't like Devil May Cry. I'm bad at it. That third one is the one I played. You know what? Here's the thing. I will probably play the fifth one because it looks fun. But I also, like, I really like Bayonetta, but it also hurts my hands.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those games where I like them, they're fun, but they hurt me hands. Too many buttons.
Too many buttons.
Yeah.
For your poor hands.
To press.
There's also Crypt of the Necrodancer. There is a Zelda version, and there's the original version. Mm-hmm. Both are very, very good, especially if you like good music and you like to solve some puzzles.
Yeah, well, they're just fun. I was like, the Cadence of Hyrule, like, is what it's called, and it has, like, fantastic remixes of, like, the Zelda songs, right? And it is Crypt of the Necrodancer, which is, it's sort of a rhythm-based game.
And a rogue.
Roguelike, yeah, roguelike. To an extent. The Zelda one, a little less, right? Because it's Zelda.
A little less randomly generated, but definitely 100% go and check them out.
Yeah, they're nice.
And I'm going to dip into some PlayStation, because you and I played Overcooked.
Yeah.
And it was fun as a two-player game.
I think it can be, like, up to four-player game as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Overcooked is basically you're, like, working together to make food. And it's very cute, and then they start to make the levels a little wacky, you know, where it's like you're on train carts and stuff. Like, or on a ship, like a pirate ship or something.
And
it's quite cute.
There's some kind of story involved, but that's really secondary to how much fun and how much frustration you can have with your friends and family when you're playing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Rayman Legends if you're looking for a kid-friendly platformer. I really enjoyed playing that one. It was not as challenging as Hollow Knight, but it is still got some good challenge going on there, and you get to explore some classic Rayman levels. There's also God of War, the reboot, in a way.
No, it's like the seventh God of War. It's technically not a reboot remaster or anything.
No,
it's the next one.
But they treated it like it was like a re...
I think they were trying to be sneaky and not let us know about but no, it's like the seventh God of War, if we want to be like, it's the seventh or eighth if we want to get technical.
And
so, but it's really good.
It's really good.
A long game, it's enjoyable. I think it's quite fun mechanically. Story's pretty good.
And we know they're coming out with more of the story.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously.
And if you can't play Demon's Souls right now, there's always Bloodborne.
Yeah. I love Bloodborne.
Bloodborne is a lot of fun. Yeah, it's really, really cool. Also very difficult. If you're looking for those challenges to keep you busy over the holiday season.
Yeah.
So those are a few of our holiday stocking stuffer ideas. And yeah, I think that's everything we got for you.